Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Good evening / good morning to some of you. How's everybody doing? It is, is this day three, day four? I don't know, something, depending on how you look at free agency. We're in the midst of things. The tampering period, they don't even like to call it that anymore, has started, and some deals have been verbally agreed to, turning into actual contractual deals. And more things are coming to fruition. We came to you on night one when some of those verbal agreements were being made with the Cincinnati Bengals, Geno Stone, Zach Moss, and others. So we had some news to bring you then. A little bit of a quiet day two. And then, of course, it was a little bit of a tenuous thing going on in day three at the first part. But then at the end of day three here, we're looking at some things, and the Bengals have kind of been simultaneously patient, but also strategic, and have been making some moves that have bettered their football team. I'm Anthony Cazenza. This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast, part of the Cincy Jungle Podcast Network. You can get this show on a number of different platforms. If you like the video side, if you like the audio side, whatever your preference is, if you like both, hell, download both. Let's do it. Audio side, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, iTunes, all of the major ones. We're there. You got to look for the Cincy Jungle Podcast channel, our show, the coach Matt Minnick and the shows that he does, as well as Bengal Jim and Talking Football with Bengal Jim and Friends. And of course, you can't forget Three and Out with Jason and Kevin. All of those are on your favorite audio platform. Our YouTube channel can be subscribed below by that Cincy Jungle icon in the bottom right-hand corner. If you're looking at the YouTube channels, click that, click subscribe, click the bell to be notified when we go live and when new content is available, as well as giving us a thumbs up if you like what we're doing. And of course, you can also get the live video streams on a number of different Twitter platforms at Cincy Jungle, at CJ Anthony CUI. That's my own Twitter account, and as well as the podcast one at Bengals OBI. And then, of course, you can also give a thumbs up to the Cincy Jungle Facebook page with, gosh, I don't even know now, 90,000 people. I don't know, 90,000 people. Go give that a thumbs up, and we're streaming live there as well. So we've got a lot to get to and a lot more to recap and break down with the last couple of days. We're going to try and kind of do it chronologically, but that is... It's a task to say the least, but we've got a lot to get to here. I may or may not be joined by some special guests here. We will see what happens there. It's so late for people, and people have been working their butt off. I am on the Pacific Coast time, so for me, it's still a little late. I mean, I could take a snooze for sure right now, but I want to bring you more because there's been more coming up here. That's, you know, it's been a little bit of a flurry of activity. Okay. So let's get to this here, and we'll try and get to this in chronological order, as I mentioned. All right. So we talked about Mixon being waived and Zach Moss coming in and kind of taking the place there as of early this week. Most people have heard at this point that Mixon has actually been traded to the Houston Texans. I believe that the Houston Texans felt like, hey, you know, we're going to be down in the pecking order here. We're going to be fighting to get this guy's services. Why not give a low-level pick? And, you know, we've got some extra in our pocket here. Let's give a low-level pick, make sure he gets to us, because the Bengals are waiving him anyway. So let's get his services, make sure that we get kind of to the top of the pecking order. And so that's what happened. The Bengals, I believe it was a seventh round pick, one of the seventh round picks that the Houston Texans had. Some rumblings about the fourth round pick there, but that would have been pretty high. So the Bengals again collect another pick here. And so they've got some stuff to be able to maneuver and move around in the draft. Now, in years past, pre-Zach Taylor, that was not their MO. And if it was, it was to move back and collect more picks, right? But in recent years, you can look at the Cam Taylor Britt move up a couple of years ago, and some other moves that they've made. They may, you know, stockpile some of these picks and move up. Now, I mean, we're not talking maybe top 10 or anything like that, but they are, you know, getting some of these picks. And I don't think, unlike Zach Taylor's first year as the Bengals head coach, I don't think that this is going to be a hoard the picks, use every single one of them exactly where we're at type of thing. I think there's probably going to be some packages, maybe get some premier players. You may be looking at the running back of the future for the Cincinnati Bengals. They love that second round for those skill position players. And a lot of those players, be it a running back or a wide receiver, have become some of the, or even quarterback. You can look at Andy Dalton, you know, you can say whatever you want about him, but that second round has produced a lot of high quality offensive skill position players in the team's history. And so when you look at what the Bengals may or may not do in the draft, second round could be like, hey, we're going to get our either our bell cow back, or, you know, another wide receiver of the future, depending on what happens with T. Higgins, etc. But, you know, they could package some things and move back up into rounds, or that, you know, that sort of thing. We will see what happens. He is traded, not waived, is Joe Mixon. So that is some of the news that began to hit on Tuesday. And then as you went on Tuesday, this was a nice move, maybe a year or two later. I mean, I think a couple of years ago, he was the franchise player. He got the franchise tag, did Mike Gesicki of the Dolphins, Patriots, etc. But this was a guy I really liked out of the draft, and there were some knocks on him that he was just, you know, kind of that seam receiver guy only, right? The slot guy. He wasn't going to get you anything in the blocking game, that sort of thing. But, you know, at the time, I kind of felt like, I mean, that's not, the Bengals need that kind of weapon, right? I mean, they needed that guy that was going to move the chains, that was going to be a threat on third downs, a threat in goal line situations. This is a guy who's had a good amount of success in this league. In 1 year, I think it was 2020 or 2021, had over 70 catches. You know, he's had that 5 to 7 touchdown range at the high points of his career in terms of stats. So it's a guy I'm pretty excited about. And there are rumblings, if you say, well, you know, he's going to be that, you know, traditional tight end, or there are some people who believe that he may be kind of a slot receiver-ish type of guy. I tend to agree with the latter. I think he's going to be kind of that slot receiver weapon. I think he's going to be a goal line weapon. And per NFL Next Gen stats, he's one of the best guys at his position in terms of contested catches and coming down with those types of throws. He also does a mediocre gritty. I think he's got to be coached up on that one a little bit. But nevertheless, Mike Gesicki, now a Cincinnati Bengal, and one of those one-year rental deals, right? One of those deals where the Bengals have done this the last 3 years at this position. It was Hayden Hurst for a year, parlayed that into a nice contract. It was Irv Smith last year, and then he has gone on and done something else. We'll get to that in just a second with departures, as it were, with the Cincinnati Bengals. But Gesicki gets that nice one-year contract for the Cincinnati Bengals, and I still... Are we still talking about the Bengals maybe looking at the draft? Are they looking at the draft? I mean, we've said this for the past couple of years that, hey, you know, they're going to get their tight end of the future in the draft this time. That's that's where this is going. That's where we think so. But if the value's not there, that this is a specific position traditionally, that if the value is not there, the Bengals will, it's like safety. If the value is not there, they will not pay a premium, whether it's in the draft, whether it's in free agency, they will just not pay a premium. And the rental deals the last few years shows that the lack of overall first round pick investments at the position shows that. And so here we are, the Bengals get a very talented guy on a 1 year deal. And I think this is kind of just a little bit of just what the doctor ordered here. I think this is a nice security blanket for Joe Burrow. I think this is kind of a nice added element to the offense. Tanner Hudson kind of provided a little bit of this last year, but I think Gesicki kind of takes that up a notch, given his pedigree, his past, and everything that he can bring and what we've seen from him. So this is a nice move for the Bengals. And if you're seeing a theme, my colleague John Sheeran put out a tweet, I don't know, a little while ago, talking about how this is one of the more predictable free agency periods for the Cincinnati Bengals. Some of these guys we've talked about for a couple of years that are joining the Bengals, that are the Bengals have interest in, and or these are some of these guys are draft targets we felt were going to be, you know, really logical for them. And so now finally down the road, they are inking these guys to contracts, getting these guys in for visits, that sort of thing. So Bengals get Mike Gesicki in their, you know, in their offense here. And I can't stress enough how I think that this is going to help the team going forward. And a lot of people, well, I mean, you know, it's protecting Joe Burrow. We need more protection. Of course. But I still, this kind of weapon is what's in vogue in the NFL, this pass catching athletic tight end, not on the same level, of course, of Travis Kelce, George Kittle and others, but you know, Gesicki's put up stats. He's put up numbers, particularly when he's been in an offense with a good quarterback. Last year, he played with the Patriots that, you know, the quarterback situation was an absolute mess last year. And then the year prior, he was kind of, he was one of the top dogs at Miami until Tyreek Hill got there. And then the numbers dipped a little bit, but prior to that, I mean, he was a guy that was one of the focal points of the offense. I don't think he will be a focal point of the offense. We will see what happens with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. More on that in a second. But I do think that he will be a guy that will be valued in this system. You know, we're looking at what Hayden Hurst did a couple of years ago. Statistically, we're looking at C.J. Uzomah's numbers statistically a couple of years ago. So if you're looking in that 40-catch range, 50-catch range, you know, high 300 to 500 yards receiving, and then maybe 4 to 6 touchdowns, that could be right in the wheelhouse of Gesicki. This is what they've missed last year from that position statistically. And of course the Joe Burrow injury didn't help any of that, but this is a nice move for the team and on a rental deal. This is just all around screams Bengals in terms of value, in terms of getting a guy that helps and on a deal that is, deemed team friendly for sure. my guy, Pork Chop, you want to come on, man? You can come on, man. You can come on. I don't know if you want to come on, one of the Bengals and Brews hosts, and you see him all over the place. Great guy. I love that avatar too, by the way. So here we go. Let's move on to the next step in this process here. And these are a couple of things in terms of departures and different moves here or potential moves here. Look, we kind of felt like these are two guys. It's weird, right? You talk all offseason about, oh, these guys aren't coming back, and it's unlikely that the Bengals are going to be interested. And then, of course, you start hearing the news of these guys going elsewhere, and you go, oh, well, that's actually real now. That's a realistic scenario that they are leaving. They are not going to be with the team and they are suiting up elsewhere. So there are two more here. I mean, we talked about Cheeto and some others, Mixon, of course, and others that departed. But here you go. Here, Jonah Williams signs a two-year deal. I believe it's about $15 million a year with the Arizona Cardinals, likely signaling that he is going to be their starting left tackle for the foreseeable future. You know, things could change there, but we could speculate all we want about how this played out. You know, Jonah initially was not happy about the OBJ signing last year, but then went to work and had arguably his best professional season playing right tackle for the Bengals last year. And oh, by the way, he was healthy for the whole season, which is not something that could be said for his really his entire career. So he cashed in on that in a way. It was a little bit of a prove it deal from the Arizona Cardinals for him, but I think it's a good move for them, a good move for him. And I don't think he was really from both sides of the table. I don't think he was really in the long-term plans for the Bengals. And as free agency got going and as that tackle market softened, you kind of felt like, man, this was a guy that maybe you want to think about getting him back on a team-friendly deal if you can, based on what you saw at right tackle. But the Bengals, they were, I think they were content on moving on. And I think that they looked at the depth of this class, this draft class at tackle. And another move that may be forthcoming, we'll talk about that in a second as well. And they said, we're gonna go this route and we're going to spend a little bit extra here and there. And we are going to, you know, we're going to go a different route. And, you know, Jonah gave some good moments with this team. There's some frustrating moments, but overall, I think he was a decent first round pick, but not one that they felt that they wanted to give a second contract to. So he is on a 2-year deal with the Cardinals. And there is predictably, again, we talk about predictability of the Bengals offseason for the guys that they are bringing in. Here's another predictable facet. The Pittsburgh native, Tyler Boyd, who has been with Cincinnati since, gosh, I don't know what, 2016, right? He he's been a stellar player, a great locker room guy. We've had him on this show. We've talked about him a lot, and I've had the pleasure of meeting him in person as well, aside from just having kind of phone interviews with him. Gracious guy, super nice guy. And, you know, I wouldn't wish anything but the best for him. Oh man, but seeing him talking to the Steelers, and again, one of those things that you put out in the offseason and you go, oh, well, I mean, that's just, you know, that's just the natural fit, and that's probably where this is going to go. And then when it actually happens, you kind of go, oh man, this is happening. So Tyler Boyd and the Steelers have mutual interest per multiple sources. And so that is kind of where things are in terms of former Bengals right now. One guy definitely signed with the Cardinals. That is Jonah Williams, and Tyler Boyd and the Steelers are talking. I'm Anthony Cazenza. This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. We've got more to get to as we continue to recap and analyze the Bengals free agency period, aside from what happened the first night of free agency. So there's a lot to get to, as you can imagine. And man, the Bengals, it's weird. Early today, you kind of felt like, man, how much better of a team are they than they were last year, based on the lack of moves, or I guess the moves that they did make, obviously Geno Stone being in there among the others that we've talked about. But as you know, you kind of saw players leave and that sort of thing, you go, man, wait, is this team improved? Or are they taking that next step? And now on late on day three, you're saying, okay, here are the moves that make sense. Here are the things that they're doing that kind of points to the direction of, yes, predictability, but also logic. So we're talking about all that stuff here on the Orange and Black Insider, part of the Cincy Jungle podcast channel. Get the Cincy Jungle podcast channel on your favorite audio streamer. And of course, you can get this show, if you like the video side of things, on our YouTube channel, right sort of down here behind my microphone. And by that Cincy Jungle icon, you can see the OBI, the Orange and Black Insider icon. Click that show icon to pull up a menu of a lot of different options, one of which is to subscribe. one of which is a bell to be notified when we go live and when new content is available. And of course, the other is a thumbs up option to like the video that we are streaming to you. And leave us a review on that audio side too, if you would. Go check out the Cincy Jungle Facebook page too. Give that a thumbs up and check out not only all the stories that we're pumping out, but also the live streams of all of our podcasts that we have on the channel. So go check those out. All right. Shameless self-promotion aside, this is the big question right here. The interior defensive line. What are the Bengals going to do? What are they doing? What's going on with the interior defensive line? And DJ Reader is the big, big question. And not only is he the big question because of just contract status and everything, but the rehab, the big injury that he has sustained. It's his second quad injury in his stint with the Cincinnati Bengals. So there is a lot to dissect here. And it was late in the year this year, of course. So there's a lot to dissect here. There's obviously a lot of talk and reports of him working out in the Bengals facility and rehabbing in the Bengals facility during this process this last time around here. And so you would think that the Bengals have a pretty good pulse on the recovery, what's happening there, etc. DJ Reader, it sounds like it's really kind of a two-horse race at this point. I think the Titans were one other team that was involved, but you look at this and it's kind of the Lions and the Bengals at this point. He is set, apparently a few hours ago, he was on a plane to Detroit and going there to visit with the team. I think that the brain trust in Detroit is going to throw what they can at him to that's just a player that they want. They need that beef in the middle. And so the Bengals, it depends on your viewpoint of this. You could say, man, they are in the driver's seat because this is an injured player. They probably have an offer on the table of some kind. And they said, hey, this is our offer. Go, you can go elsewhere. We've got a big pulse. We've got a great pulse on your recovery, your rehab, all that stuff. Go, if you've got another visit, you've got interest elsewhere, go and maybe give us the opportunity to match depending on what that is. But there could be a godfather deal on the table from Detroit that is placed there that DJ Reader cannot say no. Do you remember years ago? Oh gosh, can't remember the defensive end that the Bengals hosted. His name escapes me at the moment, from the Tennessee Titans. He ended up not being a great free agency signing for the Bengals, but the old quote was they wouldn't let him get on the plane. They stopped him at the airport or the runway, or I don't know what the deal was. It's been a long week. Can't remember the name right now, but Odom, right? Odom was the last name. I can't remember the first name right now, but anyway, Antoine Odom, right? Is that right? That sounds right. I'm thinking back to in the back of my brain there. But at any rate, there could be some sort of a situation like that where the Lions say, we're not letting you go. But again, we are talking about a player coming off a pretty significant injury. So the Lions could say, this is the offer we have. Reader's camp goes back to the Bengals. The Bengals opt to match better, whatever the case may be, or balk at it. To my knowledge at this point, I believe Eric Armstead is still available. Not really a true nose like Reader provides there. A little more three tech-ish is Eric Armstead. And there's some other options out there specifically in the draft. I know, there's Sweat and others that the Bengals could look at in terms of bolstering that nose tackle position. But this is the devil, This is a guy who's been very productive. Some of the best backs in the league have had a lack of success when he is in there, namely Derrick Henry, who, oh, by the way, is with the Baltimore Ravens. So, this is a tough one for me. I think a lot of people are, and myself too, like, hey, this is the, Josh Tupou's a free agent as well. Your other nose. I mean, you got to get some big, big guys in the middle. But you also have to protect yourself as a team. And as a, I mean, if you're running it as a business, you have to protect yourself to know what's going on with that injury, when he's going to be back, and what you do offer because of all that set of scenarios. So DJ Reader, I think most everybody wants him back in some capacity. And when you look at what the Bengals did in terms of bolstering that interior of the defensive line next to him, you would get even more excited about him returning with the new acquisition with BJ Hill and others in the defensive line rotation. And that's kind of the name of the game here. And when we look at the other visits and acquisitions, and particularly everything on defense, you're looking at rotations, you're looking at snap splits, whatever that split actually is. That's the name of the game this year for Lou Anarumo. Guys were asked, particularly on that defensive line, too many snaps up front, not enough depth. And when you look at the safety position, not enough versatility, not enough guys, you know, not enough experience. And so when you look at some of the acquisitions, some of the things that have happened, that's the name of the game on the defensive side of the ball. Snap rotation, making sure that guys aren't, you know, totally gassed. And when you look at across the board, Sam Hubbard, you look at Trey Hendrickson, DJ Reader, and BJ Hill since Larry Ogunjobi left, there's a high volume of snaps for those guys, and they need to get other guys in there to rotate in and provide productive snaps. And that's where Sheldon Rankins comes in. And we don't know exactly where, you know, if it's BJ Hill going to be, you know, he's going to be the starter or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, really, when you looked back at the BJ Hill, Larry Ogunjobi, and how effective that was, I think it was, God, I don't know, 12 sacks between them, 13 sacks between them that Super Bowl year, and, you know, 30 some quarterback hits. I mean, it was insane what those two guys provided that year. They have never been able to replicate that since, with, you know, draft picks or otherwise. They have just never been able to replicate that. And that has been the goal. You know, we've talked about it a lot on this show, and you just know that that's what the team has wanted, is to get that same firepower between those two guys. And since Larry O got hurt and subsequently left, they have just not found that. Well, they seem to have maybe found that with Sheldon Rankins, a guy who had 6 sacks last year, 3 against the Bengals alone in that game against the Houston Texans. This is a guy that, I mean, we did a free agency profile on him weeks ago because it just felt like this has to be a Bengals signing. It just has to. And we did one on Geno Stone too. So we're kind of feeling pretty good about ourselves over here, feeling like we sort of know what we're talking about. But here's the deal. I mean, this is a guy the Bengals were interested in going into the draft. This was a guy the Bengals were interested in that 21 offseason. They thought they had him, and then he snuck off to the Jets on a 2-year deal. And so that's where the Bengals pivoted, if I remember correctly, to Larry Ogunjobi. So, you know, Larry O provided a great 1-year deal for them. And then, you know, it hasn't come to fruition since. But this is the guy they need. 2 years, pretty substantial money for Sheldon Rankins here. But he's a guy that they believe can come in there and provide that interior pass rush. That is something that is, I mean, you look at the Ravens, you look at the Chiefs, you look at all these teams and what they did last year and how they were successful. That interior pass rush was integral to that success. You look back to, I keep talking about it, you can go back to the Bengals in their 21 season. What was a major, major point to their success? It was that interior pass rush, the ability to get pressure from multiple spots on the defensive line, rotate guys in and out. And that's what they want to do here. So Sheldon Rankin's a guy, maybe like Gesicki, a guy we're saying, man, 2 years ago, man, a year ago, like, you know, give me this guy. And it didn't happen, but better late than never. One of the anomalies here, though, because the Bengals have shied away from guys that are in their late 20s to early 30s in free agency. Rankins will be 30 in this year. So he is a guy that a little bit of an anomaly for the Bengals in terms of signing in free agency, but this is a guy they have wanted for a long, long time. If you can get one or two really productive years out of him, get you that half dozen sacks and, you know, double up on that with quarterback hits. And, you know, if you can get that from him, that's going to be a big boost to this defense, big, big boost to this defense. And he provides some athleticism. He provides different things here that I think this defense has lacked. It has definitely lacked. So kudos to him, and good signing by the Bengals, and one that is needed. We will see what happens at the nose and the other defensive line spot there, but that is a guy that I think that was high up on their priority list. They went after him, and here we are, you know, whatever it is, day one officially. And you know, the Bengals went right after him and got him. And he had some interest from some other teams as well. Here you go. This is one, and I got to credit both Malik Wright of the Right Way Sports Network and, of course, James Rapine and others to report this. But sources are saying that Von Bell is coming back with the Bengals on a one-year deal, a pretty affordable one-year deal, because the Panthers waived him, and they are taking the brunt of a lot of his contract, much like what the Broncos are doing with Russell Wilson. So Von Bell coming back, and you go, well, I mean, they just signed Geno Stone. Do they need another safety? Different safety, different, you know, different skill set there. The Bengals lacked communication. They lacked experience. They lacked so many things in the back end of their secondary. And I think if the Bengals were to keep one, namely Bell, if the Bengals were to keep Bell last year and let Bates walk, Bates walking was going to hurt a lot, kind of expected. If they were able to keep Bell, though, I think some of the issues, and that's not an indictment on Battle at all, but I think the inexperience there, the lack of continuity of guys playing together back there, I think if you had Bell just to kind of arrange the defense a little bit on the backside of things, work with those linebackers to properly align everything, I think you would have had a little less steep of a learning curve and thus a better performing defense. So with this, it looks as if the reports are from a number of outlets. And again, I want to credit Malik Wright, of course, who's done an outstanding job the past few off seasons, breaking a lot of things, particularly as it pertains to the Cincinnati Bengals, and James Rapine, among others, who have broken this. But it appears to be a one-year deal after Carolina released Bell following 1 year of a three-year contract he signed last year. It appears as if the Bengals are going to be signing him for 1 year, taking on a minimal amount of cap hit and salary, et cetera. And the Panthers will be taking on the bulk of what he was owed this year. We will see if that is official, even when it is official. With that, subsequently, Nick Scott has been released, the Bengals safety free agency acquisition last year. They signed him to a three-year deal. Just did not work out. You know, when he was out there, looked lost, and you know, I don't know what if the scheme was just too much for him. I don't know if there just wasn't a fit. I don't know what the issue was. It just did not work. And this was a band-aid over the loss of both Bell and Bates back there. Didn't work. So Nick Scott has been released, and Von Bell reportedly returning to the Cincinnati Bengals. So that is a big, big deal. In a way, I mean, what does that mean specifically in terms of, is he going to start? Is it going to be Battle? I mean, I just think there's still going to be a lot of rotations. I really do. I think they're going to try and spell some guys, mix up their looks. They didn't have that guess who element to their defense last year. It was pretty cut and dry. So I think a lot of teams knew, hey, if we line up this way and they line up that way, that's what we can expect. And other years, that was not the case. So I think that the Bengals are better for this, even if he's a starter, reserve player, etc. So that is the latest of the Bengals and their secondary position going forward. And now, as I mentioned earlier, Jonah Williams has been released. Well, not released. He was a free agent. He signed a contract with the Arizona Cardinals. And so again, we're talking about connection. The NFL is quite a bit of a who you know league and connections league, whether that's in coaching or what have you. But it's also with coaches who are familiar with and comfortable with certain players. There is a guy that the Cincinnati Bengals were potentially interested in the draft, and he ended up shooting up draft boards because of the way he tested, his size, etc. And now he is a free agent after a tumultuous time with the New York Jets. Mekhi Becton, per Kelsey Conway of the Cincinnati Inquirer, she broke this late on Wednesday night / Thursday morning. The mammoth offensive tackle for the New York Jets is set to visit the Cincinnati Bengals. This Frank Pollock worked with him for a time with the Jets. This just is one of those, you know, again, first round guy, tons of talent, didn't work out with the first team, still young, on the second contract. The other night we talked about how this, the old Bengals free agency was this, right? It was the take a chance on the fizzled out first round pick, see what you can get out of them, maximize it on a low risk rental deal. And so what the Bengals have geniusly done, and is geniusly a word? I think so. Yeah, I don't know. I could say geniusly and it's not word and I would not look like a genius, but regardless, you can, what the Bengals have done in recent years is they have gone out and done these big, you know, kind of these Trey Hendrickson deals, Mike Hilton deals, these big outside on B players, C players, that sort of thing, that have been really, really good additions from the outside going in for the Bengals. And so they've done a number of those, but they have sprinkled in these rental deals, tight end, we talked about that, and other spots. And this may be one of those where it's like, hey, we're drafting a tackle early in this draft, whether that's at 18, second round, you know, we'll see what happens to us. And again, free agency for the Bengals has always been, let's not get to the draft needing an absolute need where we get hamstrung like they did really in the drafts where they had to draft. They felt they had to draft John Ross and they had to draft Billy Price, and that didn't work out for them. They want to avoid those types of situations if they can. And so this is a potential move that says, you know, hey, it may not be the answer. It may be a short-term answer. It may be something that, you know, may irk some people and or, you know, not move the needle for others. But this is a guy that, you know, they feel that they've got some form of a rapport with because of their offensive line coach. And if he feels he can kind of have a reclamation project here, maybe that's where it is. And of course, I want to share this with you as well. This is from @MathBombKentleyPlatt. We love to share the RAS scores, relative athletic scores. Here it is from a few years ago. 9.85, and you look at the height, 6'7", 364. I mean, you look at that, boom. Did not do a ton on the bench, but you look at, I think that was more a little bit because of the arm length, etc., because he's so big. And then, of course, the 40-yard dash, 5-1, 294, 20-yard split, 177. So to move like that at that size, that was back then, Kentley Platt at Mathbomb, his RAS score for him, 985, putting him 17th out of 1,096 at the time offensive tackles. So again, is this just the clay to mold? You feel that you've got the coach to do it. And oh, by the way, you can draft a developmental guy. We will see what happens there. But Kelsey Conway of the Cincinnati Inquirer broke the news late Wednesday, early Thursday, that Mekhi Becton is visiting the Bengals. I there are things I don't like about the move. Again, I don't know that I see a long-term answer per se, but I do see the logic in it, and I do see the upside in it. Unfortunately, some of the PFF scores, et cetera, have shown otherwise with it. But you've also talked about a guy who switched sides. He's had some injuries. The Jets have kind of been a mess overall. So is it all on Mekhi Becton? I don't know. Maybe a little bit of stability, which is odd to say these days with the Cincinnati Bengals. Now you can say that with confidence, right? Stability with the Cincinnati Bengals. But we will see what happens there going forward. Some other names just to kind of look at. Again, I mentioned Armstead, and then Dalton Reisner. I can't figure out what's going on there. Obviously, some rumblings about Justin Jefferson. I just don't really see that being in the play for the Bengals. I think it would be amazing if they could swing something for that. But I just, you know, money-wise and everything, I don't really see that happening. I know some other people have mentioned that in here. And there was one, Porkchop had mentioned, when's the expected date? Reader could be back. You know, he suffered that injury, close to Christmas, right? In between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I've heard 6 months. I've heard 8 months. I've heard upwards of a full year. I would guess that we're looking at probably a full recovery by the beginning of the season, but I don't know. You know, bigger guys could take longer, but he's a guy who has rehabbed this type of injury before, and so maybe he knows the best path with it and thus could be quicker in terms of recovery. I don't know, but these are all the things that weigh into a contract that the Bengals or the Lions have to talk about. Hey, from Downey, Rick. Hey, SoCal buddy, I'm Orange County. Thanks for tuning in, man. Let's see, there was rumors of Justin Jefferson in Cincinnati earlier today. I not going there. What do you think of the ex-guard coming into the Bengals? I'm seeing some others. Just going to try and get to a couple of different Houdé from France. Wow. Matthew, good to see you again. Yeah, I don't know. I think I got to most of the stuff, but appreciate all of you tuning in. Again, we've got some big numbers, particularly as it goes on the Twitter front. But man, good to see all of you live. Thanks for tuning in. I love the interest. Man, we got people from France. We got people from SoCal. We got people from Ohio and all over the globe. I love it. 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 Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I appreciate it. This has been a predictable free agency a little bit for the Cincinnati Bengals. It's been a little bit of a frustrating one, and it's one that's required patience, but it's also been exciting. That first night, the Bengals were wheeling and dealing and doing a lot of different stuff. And so here they are again, kind of doing the same thing, but let's keep it going. We're going to be back this week with more stuff. Maybe we'll do like a little roundtable or listener questions. I don't know. I'm playing jazz this week. I don't know, but thank you all for tuning in. We've got a lot of people tuning in live. Appreciate you all. You, again, go to the YouTube channel, go to the Cincy Jungle Facebook page, get the Cincy Jungle podcast on your favorite audio streamer. Appreciate all of you. We will be back with more. And hey, the Bengals right now looking pretty good. They've got some more moves to make. They got to figure out that tackle spot. They have to figure out that nose tackle spot. But some moves today to bolster the defense, namely defensive interior with Sheldon Rankins, potentially with Von Bell bolstering that back end of the defense. You figure out nose tackle. expecting maybe a Band-Aid along with a developmental tackle that you draft, and all of a sudden you're feeling pretty good heading into April. I think Gesicki, another nice move, savvy move, 1 year deal. Love that. Take care, everybody. We will be back soon and more updates for you. Take care.